Why a teacher appears imperfect. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Why a teacher appears imperfect. We've all gone to school of one sort or another, and we've all had teachers of one sort or another. And some of the teachers are teachers that we will never forget. And others are teachers that we don't even remember having been there. It was sort of like a daydream. We went through their experience. We went through their classes. We went through their courses. And they left no mark, at least as we know of, on our consciousness at all. But some teachers left an indelible mark on us. Some teachers left an indelible mark. And all of them that left an indelible mark were good teachers. They were fantastic teachers. They were teachers that got across points that made us reassess our life in a most beautiful, fantastic way. Now, why a teacher appears imperfect is because we ourselves know what we'd like to do. We know what we'd like to accomplish. We know what we'd like to achieve. And we look at the teacher and we see the way the teacher is going about sharing the knowledge with us, and we say, wow, they are brilliant. They are really inspiring. Have you ever heard of an inspiring teacher? They're really inspiring. While other teachers, we sometimes say, they're not inspiring at all. They're not doing the right thing at all. They should get out of teaching. They're not good at all. Well, now, this is a naughty thing to do, but take the word teacher and the word politician and put the two together. Now, the teacher is one who helps us to better understand whatever it is that we are trying to understand. A politician is trying to help us understand whatever it is we're trying to understand. Now, you and I know exactly what the politicians are doing. At least, we know exactly what they're supposed to be doing. What they're supposed to be doing is looking for the betterment of our community. What they're supposed to be doing is to be the act of a father for us, because we cannot be a parent for all. We'd like to have roads and streets and hospitals and schools. We'd like to have institutions that benefit our community. And as an individual, we cannot do that. But as a group, we can do that. Well, the politician is the one who educates us to work together as a group to accomplish certain goals. Now, the difficulty with the politician oftentimes is they're in it for themselves, and they want to get something out of it themselves. That's why they're so solicitous to their community. They're not really in it to share the knowledge of wisdom that comes with politics or that comes with teaching. Many politicians do this. Now, where is it that the politician falls short? Where is it the teacher falls short? The teacher and politician fall short when they're teaching and they are inadequate teachers. They're inadequate beings doing their job. The teacher does not inspire the student to learn. And the word might better be to reveal from within them the knowledge that is already there. The politician does not inspire the community to work together as a group. The politician is out saying that that party or this party is against this and we're against that and we are against these things and we want this and we want that, but they're trying to have this and we have to give that to get them to have this and stuff. And it's a barter thing. Our politicians perhaps represent the oldest form of communication between human beings that we have on the face of the earth, the old barter system that went out with prehistoric man. But you say, well, the barter system came down quite a bit down into history, and it was very beneficial. Yes, it was very beneficial. I give you some food, and you give me some labor. It's just a matter of that simple situation, since money was not there and money was not available to be given and the barter system was used. But now, what are we giving to the politicians? Why do the politicians want to be politicians? Now let's ask the question, why does a teacher want to be a teacher? Does a teacher want to be a teacher because the teacher has within them the great desire to share knowledge, to share wisdom, to share the realization that everybody has within them all knowledge already, and the teacher wants to help the individual bring that out? Does the politician have within them the success of having projects on behalf of the community running smoothly, beautifully, effectively, that's their reward? Is the teacher's reward the students? Or does the teacher need to have a lot of money? Does the teacher need to live like the doctors live? Does the teacher need to live like the builders live, like many of the other higher paid professions live? Well, the teacher should have a good living income, and the politician should have a good living income. But when that living income becomes greater than people who are of a similar ilk, of a similar education, of a similar training, then of course we run into trouble. When a politician wants to have the same amount of income that a lawyer has, then the politician's in a little bit of trouble, because the politician should have a government that pays itself a reasonable salary, which they know about ahead of time, and because they get that is sufficient for whatever it is they want to do. They want to become a politician, they want to become a legislator, they want to become that, but not because of the income. A doctor, theoretically, is a doctor not because he's paid well, but because he has an opportunity to mend the ill, to heal the sick. Now, teachers and politicians run into a problem now and then because they see how much money is floating around and how it can be misused, how it can be drawn into their coffers, how it can be made useful to them. Yes, teachers too. Teachers too. Teachers want to write books. They want to do all sorts of things, and that's great and good. But sometimes that even takes a precedence over their wisdom, over their genius. In our great universities, teachers are required to have so many books published in a certain tenure of their time. In our high schools and elementary schools, teachers aren't living quite on that level of beingness, but they're sharing the elementary essence of education. Now, what is the elementary essence of education? The elementary essence of education is to be yourself and have fun, to know who you are, to go from the starting foundation. If a mother says to her child, "You're a naughty, naughty child, you're a bad, bad child," is she teaching that child anything? Oh my, yes. If a mother says to her child, "You are a wonderful child, you are a beautiful child, you are a fantastic child, I'm so proud of you, you're brilliant in every way," is she teaching that child? Oh my, yes. Does the mother want to teach the child, "You're brilliant because your father's a lawyer and your mother's a doctor and your aunt and uncles are all professional people and you'll be a professional person too"? Well, now, that's noteworthy, but perhaps the child has other aspirations. But if you just teach the child, "You are brilliant, you are a genius, you are wonderful, you do everything right, you're so fantastic, you're filled with imagination, you're filled," what a beautiful teaching that would be to the child. If the politicians would look at the community and say, "I like my town, I like my city, I like my state, I like my nation, I like my world, and I would like to see it all good and beautiful." We have many, many politicians in every way, shape, and form, but we could take the president for an illustration. Obama said that he was coming in to put certain programs into motion that were important to him. And we all agreed with that 100%. We agreed with all the programs that he offered. We didn't knock him down on any of them. Then, when the other legislators started to knock him down because it wasn't their party program, it wasn't the thing their party wanted to do, instead of backing up the president and instead of supporting him and helping him to accomplish his goals, because he is chosen by the people, you say, well, the legislators, the senators and congressmen, they're chosen by the people too. Yes, but they're chosen by the people not necessarily to make their individual state or city or nation or area the greatest in the world. It is rather to make the country at large that they're supporting. The congressmen are not in Congress to represent their cities. They're in the Congress to represent all the people of the United States. They understand a part of it from what the people of their community tell them, what the people of their nation or their city or wherever tell them, but that is just a small portion of the big picture. What is some of the great things that Obama is trying to work on? He's trying to work on Medicare and medication for the whole nation, for everybody, so that everyone will have a healthy life and people don't have to die. And he's working on the poverty program, just like Franklin Roosevelt did. He's working on many other programs that were out of that era. And he came along beautifully, and he spent money to accomplish great things, and the money was there, and the money is still there. But the congressmen and the senators are so eager to have it be used on other programs, which are not necessarily bad, but there are other programs. They should work harmoniously with what the president wants, backing him up, supporting him in every possible way, recognizing Obama is the teacher par excellence for all of us, and he is showing us a way of having a nation that is doing utterly fantastic. That's true, there are other nations that have had medication programs for the people that were not too successful and were very costly and so forth, but that's only because they allowed it to get out of hand. They allowed it to get into the point of view that the doctors were feeling that they were getting so much money and they were getting so much kickbacks from the pharmaceutical companies, and that they were charging people so much money for their illnesses and publishing about their illnesses instead of talking about their wholeness. What should a doctor's purpose be? It should be like Hippocrates said. It should be wholeness and health. And what do doctors generally do? Not that at all. When a person goes to the hospital, if they can't afford to be helped, the hospital doesn't want to take them in. That doesn't want to take them at all. And you say, well, what happens? Well, they just die. Thousands and millions of people have died who wanted to get into hospitals because they needed help, but they couldn't afford it, so they didn't even go. They didn't even go. And if they went, they were turned away. And then at the entrance to the hospital, they have such an formal setup where you have to get all the details down that the illness, the need of the patient is not even given immediate attention. You say, well, they didn't want to put things into them or do things to them that might hurt them, but yet they could do things that would help them to stay alive until they could find out all those things. They could help them to be at peace and to understand this. What's a doctor for? What's a politician for? What's a parent for? What's a teacher for? What is a real teacher? What does a real teacher teach? Why a teacher appears imperfect? Because we have trained them to be imperfect. How do we train them? We train them in the teacher schools. We train them in the educational institutions. We train them in our organizations, the school boards and things like that, who work with the teachers and guide them into doing things that we think is right. And what is really the main thing that a teacher should be doing? The teacher's main desire should be in taking care of the young people, in taking care of the students, in taking care of them of any age, in teaching them the language of their country, so that every person who lives in any given nation knows the language of their country and speaks it fluently and beautifully. Every person can write it fluently and beautifully. Every person can understand people from other countries and have that as their second, third, and fourth languages. And that's a teacher should teach the unity of all, the harmony of all, the education, that we already know all things. And then when little children are taught languages, up until a certain age, they can learn 5, 6 languages very easily and very quickly. Well, what about other things? We want to say they need playtime, they need personal development time. Well, what they really need is to recognize that they're brilliant. They really need to recognize that they're geniuses. They really need to recognize that they have within them all knowledge, all wisdom. We see in the imperfect teacher our mirror. Change the mirror. Change that imperfect picture that you see in the mirror and see your teacher, see the politicians, see all these people who are working on behalf of our community, who are working on behalf of our world. See them all beautifully, wonderfully guided by the divine within them. See them living abundantly like everyone else. See all the nation. No one in the United States needs to have poverty. No one in the world needs to have poverty. No one in the world needs to have limitation. Many people bring it upon themselves because they will not allow abundance to come in. But that's okay. We work with people that we work with. We are just like those people who deny our good by not calling it forth and being it. Today, you and I can set a new picture in motion. We can wipe clean that mirror and no longer see why a teacher appears imperfect, but why every teacher appears perfect. Why you as a teacher and I as a teacher and the world as a teacher are all teaching beautifully that we already know all things. And now we're living our lives beautifully, abundantly, fabulously, knowing all things and carrying them out in a beautiful, wonderful way. That's what it's all about. Try it. You too will like it, I know. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.